So you may be wondering what we're going to talk about today. You know, we've been in a series, we got through Colossians, a series called Rooted, where we did expository preaching. That means going verse by verse, line by line. I love doing that. I love having that roadmap, and I love digging into the books of the Bible. However, there comes a point where we've had these different times and shifts of seasons, and so we've got opportunities for some one-offs. So that leaves me and Pastor Brian and then some other guest pastors that we're going to have, speakers coming in this summer, to talk about things that are hot on our heart, things that are like, you know, if we could talk about anything, what would we talk about? And one of the things when we surveyed the church, one of the things that was in the top 10 was we want to learn more about the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. And then the first one, not only here, but when we surveyed Oak Hills 10 years ago, same answer is we want to be able to hear the voice of God better. We want to be able to, how do you hear the voice of God? So we're going to talk about that today and just try to maybe answer and give some help there. But before we do, we're going to do our weekly briefing. It's interesting. I had a young man come to me between services. He's been here about a month now, a little over. And he said, hey, I'm new to the church. I moved from somewhere else to come here and plant my life, and I'm loving what's happening here. And he said, you know, I've been to a lot of churches in my life. And he said, but I've never been to a church that talked about politics before. And I said, well, when did I talk about politics? I said, we're talking about culture. We're talking about what's going on out there. That's not necessarily political. It's just culture. Amen. And I said, well, here's the deal. I said, does it affect your life, the gas pump, what's happening? You know, Pastor Russ brought that up, and he goes, yeah, it does. I said, that's culture, and that's political, and it's driven by policy. I said, everything we do is political. I said, in the first 170 years of our nation, the pastors actually carried the ball on educating congregations on what was going on in culture and AI, politics. And so I said, so we're just doing what the foundation of our nation has always done, and that is to address what's going on in the world through a biblical worldview. So that's a reminder for you, just to let you know why we do these weekly briefings. I have a very good news. I'm excited about this one. This is very unusual, and it's happening probably about now. It's called Freedom 250, and this is, I love what our president did. He said, we need to dedicate our nation back to God. It's a beautiful nation. Yeah. So he's like, man, we got to bring this back to God. And so they've been planning this in light of the 250th birthday of our nation coming up on July 4th. And so it's called freedom250.org. If you want to watch this afternoon, it's going to be going on all afternoon. So let me give you a little heads up about what you would be seeing. So Freedom 250 invites all Americans to come together in prayer and worship ahead of the nation's 250th birthday on Sunday, May 17th, today. The National Mall will be the scene of a historic gathering as Americans of every background across the country prepare for the nation's 250th birthday with scripture, testimony, prayer, worship, and rededication of our country as one nation under God. Somebody say amen. That's a good place to say amen. From morning fellowship in front of the U.S. Capitol to an evening filled with music anchored at the main stage on 12th Street, Rededicate 250 will be rooted in giving thanks for God's presence in our national life through 250 years of American history and asking for his guidance for the next 250. Let me give you an idea of who you're going to be hearing. You can listen to it via live stream if you just want to listen while you're doing other things. You just go to the Godcaster. You can see it on the screen there. You go to bridgefbg.com. You click on the Godcaster, which is at the top of the menu, and you'll see this come down, and you click on Freedom 250. It'll be live streaming all day, and you can listen to it there if you've got other things going. Here's some of the speakers that are going to get up and speak and testify at this. Speaker of the House, House of Representatives, Mike Johnson will be speaking. Secretary Marco Rubio, who is one of the best preachers I've ever heard. I mean, that man can preach the gospel. Secretary Pete Hegseth, our United States Secretary of War. Senator Tim Scott can bring the heat as well. He's a United States Senator from South Carolina. Also, Dr. Ben Carson, Franklin Graham, Pastor Jack Graham, Pastor Jensen Franklin, one of Abram's favorite pastors, preachers. He's fire. Pastor Jonathan Falwell, Pastor Sam Rodriguez, another firebrand for God, and great pastor and evangelist, Eric Metaxas, also a guy who everybody thinks is Jesus, but he's really not. His name's Jonathan Rumi. He's in The Chosen, and everybody, when they pray, they see Jonathan Rumi in their head. And so anyway, he will not be playing Jesus today. He'll be a brother in Christ praying and speaking and addressing. Also, Sadie Robertson Huff and Dr. Alveda King, just to name a few. And they're going to be coming on all day long. They'll be dedicating. They'll be praying. Chris Tomlin will be leading some worship as well. And this is an opportunity for us to get in alignment with the heart of God for our nation, which was the beginning of our nation, and that we would be a nation under God. Wonder God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen? So this is a good thing that's happening, and it is historic. I don't remember a time when a president, maybe Ronald Reagan, he would often address, you know, faith in culture, but I've never had one say, we're going to stop the presses, we're going to dedicate the whole mall of Washington, D.C., and a whole day to rededicating this nation back to God. Amen? So that is something to be excited about. So I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet as we pray. We're going to do what we always do here, and that is we pray for the peace of Jerusalem according to Psalm 122, verse 6. It is a command. It is a mandate. It's not an option. It's not in the table or in the concordance of your Bible. It is literally in Psalm 122, verse 6, and it is a command. So we do that together. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for the peace, the shalom of Jerusalem. We pray over the nation of Israel. We pray for all of the Middle East, that this ceasefire will hold. We ask God for miracles, Father, that you would show up strong, and as you have been in all these negotiations. Thank you for touching Donald Trump and using him in these negotiations to get things done and get things moving. We pray for blessing over it, and we pray, Father, for the spirit of evangelism, Father, and the witness of Jesus Christ over the Middle East, Lord. We pray, save the Middle East, save them with our Savior, our Messiah, that they would come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We pray for our own nation, for faith, for family, for freedom. We pray for our President Donald Trump. We're thankful for him and how you're using him. Father, we're not looking at him as a perfect man. We're looking at him as a man who's being used by you to move the ball down the field and move the needle. And we're thankful for that. We pray for he and his family. Pray for these that will be speaking today at this amazing Rededicate 250, Father, where we call our nation back to God. And I pray that this will begin revivals and continue to fuel the revival that's happening with the next generation. We pray for our own community right here in this area of the Texas Hill Country, our little corner, that, Lord, your Holy Spirit would fall on our land, that, Father, you would ignite the fires of revival across our city in all of our sister churches and our friends down the street, Lord, that literally the Holy Spirit himself, that you would visit us. And you would visit us and you would shift and change and move things, Father. Bring your 3-second burn to us, Lord, by your power of the Holy Spirit. And we pray, Lord, in alignment with Jesus when he taught us how to pray, when he said this, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And God's people said, amen and amen. You can be seated as you are. Just want to remind you, we are going to be having a baptism service right after this service. So we'll land the plane here at the end of the service. We'll close. We'll say, go get your kids and come back, please, for their sake down there. Go get them. Bring them back. But we'd love to have you come back down and celebrate with us as we baptize 23 people who are saying yes to Jesus. Don't you think that's a great thing? Amen. So I got to confess something. I've stolen something. I'm a thief. I stole something from a dear friend of mine named Max Lucado, who wrote a book a few years ago called Help Is Here. So I stole the title from his book for today's message. When I was thinking about what I would like to call us back to and to remember, I love what Pastor Russ said, you know, using that scripture out of the book of Revelation to the church of the Ephesians, remember from where you have fallen, because there is a drift that happens. And so today's 3-second burn, a little longer than 3 seconds, might be like 30 minute burn. What we're going to do is we want to turn the corner and we want to get back to the basics and the fundamentals of what it means to follow Jesus and to be not just Spirit-filled, but Spirit-led. And so we're calling this Help Is Here. Just to give you by way of intro, Jesus didn't come just to save you. He came to stay with you. You need to understand, he didn't just want to get you a ticket to heaven and then good luck until I see you. Good luck until you crash a car or have a heart attack. No, he's like, I want to come and I want to be with you, God with us. Right before the cross, the disciples were pretty tore up. They were anxious. They were nervous. They were like, man, what is going to happen here? Because Jesus broke some news to them at the Last Supper. Listen to this. He responded with a promise, and it's found in John chapter 14, verses 16 to 18. He says this, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples at the Last Supper. They're around the table. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Someone say another helper. All right, this is very important. Another helper to be with you how long? What does it say? That's a long time, wouldn't you say? Guess what the Greek word for forever means? Yeah, you're getting it. See, you know me. That's it. It literally means he will be with us from now perpetually. This is good news, isn't it? Isn't it, Kyle? This is good news. I mean, he's with us forever. He's with us right now. This room is filled with the Holy Spirit, not because we've been interceding over the atmosphere, which we have, but the Holy Spirit came in with you. You brought him here. Thank you very much. Thanks for bringing him with you, not checking him at the door. We bring him wherever we go. He is with us because he abides in us. That word, another, and when we talked about another helper, it means this. It means another of the same kind. Jesus is saying, I'm going to leave. I'm going to go, but I'm not leaving you alone. I will not leave you as orphans. He even said this. He says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. The word helper also means this. And the word in the Greek is parakletos or paraclete, whichever tense you use. And it literally means this. This is who lives inside of you. If you are born again, you've been saved, you've been baptized, the Spirit of God is in you and upon you, you've given your heart to him, this is who lives inside of you. The counselor, the comforter, the helper. The intercessor, did you know he prays for you always before the Father? He's before the Father praying for us. Also, and this is really the root meaning of this word, advocate. You know what an advocate is? So when I worked in the child industry, we had CASA workers, court-appointed special advocates. These are people who would volunteer to come walk with these kids, get to know their case, understand what was going on with the court system, understand what was going on in the foster care system, what was going on. And they were there to help navigate and negotiate and walk with, whether it was attorneys or court situations, they were there to help. They were there to advocate legally on behalf of these kids that were either they were going through all kinds of things in terms of families trying to get them back, reunification or separation, whatever was happening, the court-appointed special advocate was there to advocate for them. That's what an advocate does. And this is actually a legal term, parakletos. But also the last one is he's our friend and he walks with us. And he will never leave us or forsake us. So help's not on the way. I got good news for you. That doesn't sound like good news. Help is already here. It's not coming. He's already here. Amen? Just look at somebody. Just look at them very awkwardly. Just make somebody feel really weird. Did you know that you're looking at the Spirit of God in them? They are a child or they are a son or a daughter of the Most High God who is filled with the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine how different our life would be if we saw everybody that way? Either someone who is or is going to be. Maybe not yet, but going to be. We trust that. We believe it. So number one, if you take notes, here's the first point. We're going to talk about the person of the Holy Spirit. That is God with us. God with us or God with you. The Holy Spirit is not weird. I got to make this announcement. Every time I talk about the Holy Spirit, I got to bring this up. The Holy Spirit is not weird. Do you get that? People are weird. Do you get that? I think we'd all agree. People are weird. And that the people that are weird with the Holy Spirit were weird before they had the Holy Spirit. Can you understand that? This is not rocket science. The enemy wants to inoculate you from the very person that you need and the equipment that you need to do what he's called you to do what he's gifted you to do and fulfill your purpose for even being born onto this earth. And so the enemy comes in to inoculate. He makes things happen. He creates weirdness. So actually, the Holy Spirit's not creating weirdness. People are being weird. They're creating weirdness, and it causes us to take a step back, to pause. Say, I'm not sure that I want that. And this is true, family. It's happened experientially in a lot of our lives. We saw weird things, and it caused us to have pause and step back. But you need to understand, the Holy Spirit's not weird. People are weird. And the Holy Spirit's not just some force. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's a person. And here's some things that the Holy Spirit does. I'll show you the scripture. He speaks. The Holy Spirit speaks. Listen to this, Acts 13:2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, these were the apostles, the original disciples. They're in Jerusalem, and they're trying to figure out what to do, what's going to happen next. And they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. The Holy Spirit said, he didn't like beam something to them. The Holy Spirit spoke. They heard his voice somehow, some way. And there are several ways that the Lord speaks to us. He speaks to us through the church. Did you know that? This is from Henry Blackaby out of Experiencing God. He speaks to us through circumstances. He speaks to us through the Word, and he speaks to us through other people. He'll bring what we need when we need it through those four sources. And that's not an exhaustive list, by the way. He can speak through a lot of things. He spoke through a donkey to Balaam. Amen. I did not keep it King James Version for your ears, by the way. He spoke through a donkey because Balaam wasn't listening, and he needed to get something to him. So God knows how to speak. It says while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, and he told them what to do, set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And they sent them, they came together, laid hands on them, prayed, and sent them off on the missionary journeys. Here's another thing the Holy Spirit does. He leads. He leads. You know, it's not just enough to be Spirit-filled. We need to be Spirit-led. Can I get an amen? I know a lot of Spirit-filled people that I wish they were Spirit-led. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's the weird stuff I'm talking about. But when you find somebody who's literally led by the Spirit, that means they're listening for the voice of the Spirit. In Isaiah 30, it says this, "And you will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, whether you turn to the right hand or to the left." He will speak. But are we always listening? Listen to this. He leads. Romans 8:14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. You want to prove your faith? Just follow him. Be led by him. Be in line with him. Be in lockstep with him. Because he will order your steps, according to Psalm 37:23. And he will delight in the details of your life. He'll show you what to do. He can be grieved. Did you know we can grieve the Holy Spirit? Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. We see throughout Scripture there's opportunities to grieve the Spirit of God, to grieve his heart. And what grieves us is the same kinds of things that grieve him, like disunity, division, hatred, gossip, lying, all these different, and there's so many lists in Scripture. Sexual immorality, all of these things grieve the Spirit of God. He says, stop grieving the Spirit. And here's another one. He's not just a person. He is actually God. God with us. Listen to this in Acts 5. If you'll remember, there was this couple, Ananias and Sapphira, and they were wealthy. They had sold some land, and they were going to give this big donation. And this is when the Holy Spirit was moving powerfully right in the beginning days. And they decided to make a big deal about giving this nice gift, but they kept back some for themselves. And they did it with a wrong heart, a wrong motive. And it didn't end well for them, by the way. But here's what it says. Acts 5 says, but Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? So he's saying, by doing what you did, you're literally lying to the Holy Spirit. And then he says something interesting. You have not lied to man, but to God, where he's equating the Holy Spirit with God. So when you're a carrier, if you're a carrier of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, you're literally carrying the presence of God everywhere you go, even aisle 4 at HEB. Amen? Or Walmart. We need to bring Jesus into Walmart too. Amen. Come on. Wherever we go, we carry him. And he is with us. So listen, just as a connect point. A lot of believers are uncomfortable with God the Father. I mean, they're comfortable with him because he's up there. He's distant. He seems like he's far off. I mean, you hear it at the Grammys. Oh, yeah, yeah. God bless you. And, yeah, I want to thank God. You know, everybody cheers and claps. But and then there are other people that are comfortable with Jesus being the Son because he's a historical character. You know, he walked the earth. He did what he did. But many are unsure about the Holy Spirit who's right here and right now with us. Again, they've seen some bad examples. But Jesus said that it's better for him to go so that the Spirit could come. Did you know that he literally said this, if I don't go, then the Holy Spirit can't come and be with you. See, Jesus was the Son of Man. He was here in the flesh. It's called the incarnation of Christ. He was here, but he was one person in one place. He said, if I stay here, I can only be one person in one place. He said, but if I go, the Father will send the Spirit to you. And who's he talking about? His own Spirit. His Spirit. He will send him to you, and now he can be anywhere at all times with everyone. And the disciples were having a hard time. They're at the Last Supper. He's telling them this. And listen, John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And by the way, he did just that. We have Acts chapter 2, Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the flesh. And we saw the signs and wonders happen, and that was the birth of the church as we know it and the release of the presence of God in the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So what do we do? What's one way to just literally lock in? Man, I've been doing this for years. It was actually the title of a book from a long time ago. And the authors, it's irrelevant. But here's what the name of the book was. Good Morning, Holy Spirit. Before I ever get out of bed, I wake up and I say, good morning, Holy Spirit. And I don't want to leave anybody out, so I say, good morning, Lord Jesus. And I don't want to leave God. I say, good morning, Abba, Father. Why? That's the Trinity. You know what the word Trinity is? Tri-unity. Three in one. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And what I'll do, I'll go through different cycles in my season of growth. There'll be a season where I'm very focused on Jesus. So I'll start with Jesus first. Lord, I wake up, Lord Jesus, good morning, Lord. Good morning, Lord. What are we going to do today? And then I'll add Abba, Father. And then I'm in a season right now where I'm really wanting to draw near to God, the Father. And so I wake up now and say, good morning, Father. Good morning, Abba. What are we going to do today? Oh, good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. But by acknowledging him from the beginning of your day, you are setting the tone and setting a template over your day that I'm going to start with acknowledging him first. It will change the way you engage your day. Here's another thing. Again, the Holy Spirit is not weird. He's not mystical. He's relational. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to walk with you. The second thing is, we talked about the person of the Holy Spirit. This is the work. What does he do? The work of the Holy Spirit. And this is God working within us. The Holy Spirit does his deepest work down inside of you. And a lot of times while he's doing that work, it's not necessarily seen, but it will be someday. In other words, he's doing things inside of us that will eventually begin to come out of our life. We call it getting our buckets filled. And then we begin to leak out the life that's in us. Listen to this. Here's some other things and the work that the Holy Spirit does. He convicts. That word convict is also the same word that can be used for convince. To convict or to convince. The Holy Spirit convicts, not to shame you, but to do what Pastor Russ was talking about, to bring you back. It's that 3-second burn, that conviction that comes upon us. It's not to guilt you, not to shame you, not to condemn you, but it's to wake you up to say, wait a minute, I'm off track. I missed a turn back there. I'm off the rails. I need to be redirected. And he orders our steps and redirects us by giving us and working in the details of our life. John 16:8 says, when he comes, he, the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world. He will convince the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. That is the work that he does. He convicts. I don't know about you, but before I was a Christian, I grew up in West Texas in the Panhandle. I went to a small school, small high school in Post, Texas, Bold Gold Antelopes, woohoo, and kind of almost as big as Ballinger, and small town America, right? So we grew up that way. We grew up in those. But I grew up doing what everybody else did. I was drinking beer, driving a pickup, and listening to AC/DC. Isn't that what y'all did? So, I mean, you know, don't get excited over there. I wasn't talking about it in a good way. You're like, yeah, rock, rock, yeah, AC/DC. But anyway, I grew up that way. I grew up doing what you did, most of you. And but I would feel conviction. I knew it wasn't right. I knew there were things I was doing, and I didn't ever connect the dots early on until I met someone who began sharing Jesus with me in high school and began to tell me, like, hey, you know that feeling you have when you know you did something you shouldn't? I'm like, yeah. He goes, that's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, whoa, wait, what? He said, yeah, that's the Lord. He's trying to talk to you. He's trying to get in. So, man, once I got that news, that actually got worse. I'm just saying. I was like, what? I mean, and then I was running harder. And the closer I got to Jesus, the more this guy and others were sharing their faith with me, the harder it got, the worse it got. It got worse before it got better. Why? The Lord was showing me that I can't not do this life on my own. I needed a Savior. I needed help. I needed guidance. I needed the Holy Spirit to walk with me and help me order my steps so that he could delight in the details of my life. And so he convicted me. He wasn't condemning, he was convicting. And it was causing my heart to hurt about what is going on? Why do I feel this way? Well, that was his work in my life. And family, it's that same work in your life as well. He's convincing you that he's there and that he's real, and there's a reason you feel that way. The scary part is when we ignore him for so long on purpose that it doesn't hurt anymore. That's when we've seared our hearts. Here's another thing he does. He regenerates. This is really important. Christianity is not about behavior modification. We're not just trying to make a bunch of nice people. Nice is highly overrated. Can I get an amen? So we're not trying to just create a bunch of nice people who smile all the time. We're trying to create people who are going to engage their culture and make a difference. Say what needs to be said, do what needs to be done when it needs to be done. Amen? And be brave and be bold and be unashamed of who we are. It's okay to stand. It's okay to not lean, but to stand on your convictions. Amen? So John 3:5 says this, Jesus answered, truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? What is this ethereal thing we talk about all the time? We throw this around in church. Annette was checking me up on this. She was like, you need to tell people what the kingdom of God is, because you say it, but maybe not everybody understands it. And I get that. So the kingdom of God, the easiest way to remember it is, it's the king's domain, kingdom. The king's domain. It's any area that the King of Kings, God himself, has domain or dominion over. Does that make sense? So whatever it is on this planet where God has dominion, that is the kingdom of God. And guess what? That's pretty much everything. He created the spinning ball. Amen? We jacked it up, but he created it, right? And it's going to be redeemed and restored in his timing, not ours. So if we want to enter the kingdom of God, this place, this realm of where he is and who he is, his presence, we have to be born again. We have to be born of the Spirit. What does that mean? We have to be saved. It's amazing how many people I meet today, when I say this kind of thing, they go, I've never heard that before. You know, I've been to church my whole life, and no one ever told me I need to repent of my sins. I need to be forgiven of my sins. And I need to ask God to save me. I need to ask Jesus into my life. I need to turn my life over to him. I've had people tell me, lifelong Christians, no one ever said that to them. I'm like, then you've been running on your own strength for way too long. No wonder you're tired and unhappy. So I want to encourage you, if you have never stepped over the line to say, yes, Lord, And you don't have to know what it all means. That's the thing. You'll spend the rest of your life learning what it means to follow Jesus. Being a disciple, Pastor Russ talked about being a disciple. It's one of our goals for you. We don't want to just create a bunch of people that show up to church. We want to create disciples who go out and leak their life everywhere they go. They take Jesus with them in the person of the Holy Spirit. And everywhere they go, man, I don't know about you, my dad, he was all about Brute 33 and Old Spice. Anybody know what I'm talking about? My dad, he would start to enter the house, and I could smell him coming. And it was either Brute 33 or Old Spice. Now, in my age, in the 70s, it was Halston Z14 and Polo. Come on now, that's what I'm talking about. But my dad, I could smell him coming because I smelled his aroma. The scripture talks about when we carry the Holy Spirit, we actually are carriers of the aroma of Christ. And do you know that before we get there, it'll be like, oh, here comes Dad. I hope I'm not in trouble this time, you know. Brute 33, Old Spice is on its way. But I would hear him, I would smell him coming. I knew his presence was there. But as a believer and a follower of Jesus, you should be able to walk into a room, into a meeting, into work, into a situation, and some people go, man, what is that? There's something in the air. There's something here that's different. And that is what we carry, the person of the Holy Spirit, God with us. That's one of his works. He rebirths us, 2 Corinthians 5:17. You're not just a better version of the old you. You are a new creation in Christ. New creation. Say new creation. Somebody say, stay on that, Pastor. Man, I tried to train you last week. You've been slow today. Man, we got to stay on this, family. We got to keep reminding each other of who we are in Jesus. We are new creation realities. Man, when people see you, I remember seeing a friend of mine, old friend of mine, he goes, oh, Pruitt, I know you, man. You're the same as you always were. I said, brother, I am not. I may look the same like I did in high school, not, but in my dreams, but I am not the same person. I am a new creation. Why? Because when I woke up this morning, I said, good morning. Good morning, Abba Father. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning. What are we going to do today? Thank you. Do you know the Hebrew people, Israel, they get up in the mornings and they have a little thing they do before their feet ever hit the floor. This is a tradition with the old Christians in the first century. They would wake up and they'd say, thank you, Father, for bringing my soul back to me today. What was that? It was a recognition that they had life and the recognition that God gave them another day to live. Thank you for bringing my soul back to me today. A recognition that God is in control and that God is starting off gratitude. Thank you for bringing my soul back to me today. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Father. He rebirths. If anyone's in Christ, they're a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. You are not who you were yesterday. You're not who you were last week, and you're certainly not who you were in high school. Put the letter jacket away, brothers. You are not that guy anymore. You can't run or jump like you used to, I promise. Takes one to know one, right? You are not who you were, and that's a good thing because we are new creations, and you can be a new creation in any given minute at any day simply by recognizing it and declaring it, saying, Father, thank you that even now I am a new creation before you. The old things are gone. They're passed away, and the new is here. I am new in you right here in this moment. You can do that any moment of any day, anywhere, anytime. Amen? All you have to do is declare it. Say, Lord, I'm going to align myself with your word. And because I'm doing it, I'm now a new creation. You know, just saying that to you right now, I'm new right in front of you. I just shed the old. I just shed the past, and I'm new in Christ. You can do the same thing because he wants to rebirth us. He transforms, 2 Corinthians 3:18. Listen to this. Over time, he reshapes your desires. In other words, the things that you think you want are not the things you really want. You just think you do, and the enemy wants you to want those things, but God will actually reshape your desires. The things you desire will begin to shift and come into alignment with him as you walk with the Holy Spirit, 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all with unveiled face. In other words, we're not looking through anything. We're seeing, beholding the glory of the Lord are being transformed. That means changed. Transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, from glory to glory. for this comes from the Lord who is a spirit. This is the work he's doing in us. We're changing. We're transforming. We are not who we used to be. So here, just to connect, you ever notice that the things you used to be comfortable with now bother you? If the opposite is true, that could be dangerous. But here's the thing. God is reshaping the very things you desire and the things you're after. He's doing it. Listen to this. That's not guilt. That's the Holy Spirit at work. He's working in us. Amen? Oh, we have a friend. We have an advocate. We have a comforter. We have a helper. We have an intercessor. And he's with us, a counselor, all of those things. God doesn't just improve your life. He changes your very nature from the inside out. You may look the same, but you're not the same. God is doing a work. Amen? So here's the deal. Just what do we do about it? Well, when you feel conviction, respond to God quickly. I call it repent quickly. Repent quickly. When he convicts you of something, say, Lord, I think I missed something there. I'm sorry, Lord. I give that to you. I'm sorry. I just turn my face to you. I'm turning my back on that. I'm going to repent quickly. Own it quickly. Stop trying to self-fix what only the Spirit can transform. Family, I would love to say you all are so amazing that you can absolutely fix yourself every time, but I got news for you. How's that working for you so far? How's that working for you where you're hanging on, you're controlling, you're going to fix it, you're going to grit your teeth and make it happen? It's not working. Just ask your wife, your husband, your kids. Ask the people you work with, is this working? And that's not to put anybody down. It's simply a recognition that we need help, and help is here. Can I get an amen? Invite him into the areas you've kept off limits. Now I'm meddling. I just went from preaching to meddling. Invite the Holy Spirit into the areas where you've kept off limits. The last thing is this. We'll land with this. That was the work of the Holy Spirit. This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is God working not just in you, but he's working through you. This is what's so fun and so powerful. The Holy Spirit doesn't stop at working in you. He works through you. And here's what he does. He empowers. Anybody need more power to do what they need? Family, we need it. We need his help. Power to live bold and represent Jesus. I love the word represent because you can also change the pronunciation to represent. We represent Jesus everywhere we go. We take him with us. We let him leak out of us. He comes up in conversations. Why? Because we are representing Jesus as we go. Acts 1:8. But you, turn to your neighbor and say that he's talking about you. Just say it. He's talking about you. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. That means you're going to answer the questions that people have. As you go out, as the aroma of Christ, not Brute 33, not Old Spice. What are some of the women's things? What's that one that Elizabeth Taylor, something diamonds, white diamonds. Can you believe that commercial's still on? But anyway, our grannies, they had that. Anyway, it's not you carrying your natural scent. It's not you carrying a manufactured scent. It's you carrying the very aroma of Jesus everywhere you go. And as you go, people go, I'm not sure what that is, but something's resonating with me about that. What is that? It's the Holy Spirit. You know what people will begin to do? They'll begin to ask you questions about faith. Faith will come up in conversations. God will come up in conversations. We were talking to a realtor the other day. Never met her in our life. One sentence out of her mouth, we already knew she was a believer. She said, well, praise God. I mean, like, bold. I'm like, now that's how you leak out. We knew the code language had already happened. We know the code. She's a believer, and we ended up talking about our faith life and our journey. Turns out she goes to Oak Hills in San Antonio. He says, you're going to be witnesses where you are. Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, those are concentric circles. But you could say the same about Fredericksburg, about the Texas Hill Country, about Texas, about America, and about the world. That's the concentric circles in which we live. A couple of things here and I'll land. He produces fruit in us. Man, I'm not about being fruity, but there's something to it here, but in the best way. Listen to this. Listen to the fruit of the Spirit that is produced by the Spirit in us. And by the way, spoiler alert, it's not the fruit of the flesh. We can imitate these things, but we will never pull them off fully. They'll not be fully realized in our life because they are the fruit of the Spirit, not of the flesh. But the beauty of it is He does it through us. This is God working through us. Listen to this in Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit, and there's nine, is love, joy, and peace, patience, kindness, and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. These are the nine fruit of the Spirit that when He is living in you and you are being led by Him, these things will naturally occur. And people will ask questions. It'll bring up conversations. We've not built this church here on personality. This is not about me. This is not about Pastor Russ. It's not about Pastor Brian. This church is built on the presence of God. One of our key values and why we put so much into worship is that we want to host the presence of God. We want God to feel welcome in our midst. Why? Because we know we can't do it without Him. We want to build a church that if God doesn't show up, it just fully implodes. Because we want to be a people that are Spirit-led, Spirit-directed, and Spirit-filled. Amen? This isn't about a show or performance or any of that. It's about wanting to be led by Him, walking with Him, so that when we step out of this box and out into our culture, we will be bold and strong witnesses for His glory. Amen? That's the heart of what we're about and why we're doing this. So let me just give you a couple of things here. Jesus did not leave you guessing. Jesus didn't leave you striving. And Jesus did not leave you alone. Sometimes as believers, we feel lonely, but did you know we're not really ever alone? Somebody's always watching. No, I don't want to say that. That's weird sounding. Holy Spirit living in you is with you. And you're never actually alone, even when you feel that way. Feelings can be deceptive. Amen? And here's what He gave us. He gave us His presence. That's God with us. It's Him with us. He gave us His power. That's Him within us. And He gave us His purpose. That's living His life through us and us cooperating and participating with Him in fulfilling His plans on this earth. Amen? Is it good to have the Holy Spirit? Amen. Come on. All right, Pastor Jimmy. As we finish, how are we to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Oh, man, it's tricky. You got to hold your tongue just right when you say it. And you got to feel really good. You got to be really hyped up on faith, man. No. The Bible says this. If you then being evil, talking about parenting, He says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does the Father want to give the Holy Spirit to those that, here's the key, drum roll please, who ask Him? That's it. You want to be filled with the Spirit? Just ask. It's so simple. Remember the Geico commercials? It's so simple a caveman can do it. Well, come on. He's saying this is so simple. All we need to do is ask. Now, when you ask, you also need to have some faith. And here's how you ask. Say, Father, I thank You that You fill me with Your presence. Would You fill me now to full and overflowing? Now, don't stutter here. This is not where you balk. This is where you now go to, well, man, I hope He did it. Man, maybe this time, maybe not. Maybe I'll get lucky today. No. Here's what you do. You move right into gratitude. Right into thanksgiving. Father, would You fill me with Your Holy Spirit and without even taking a breath or breaking a sentence? Father, would You fill me with Your Holy Spirit? Thank You. Thank You for filling me with Your presence. Thank You for Holy Spirit. This is as you're driving on the I-10. And you really need the Holy Spirit there. I'm just saying. Lord, thank You that Your presence is with me. Don't close your eyes if you're driving. Thank You, Lord, that You're with me. Keep your eye on the road. Thank You that You're here with me. What? This is practical. And we do it in real life and in real time. Walking through the store, Lord, thank you for filling me with your presence. Thank you that everywhere I go, I'm bringing you with me, and we're going to leak out all over this place. People are going to smell something when I get there, and it's not Route 33. They're going to smell your presence, your aroma coming off of me. Amen? That's the heart of it, brothers and sisters. It's not that complicated. So I'm going to invite you to do something today. Some of us need to fill her up, right? So when I was in high school, every kid in high school in Post, Texas eventually worked at the Texaco. It was like a rite of passage growing up in a small Texas town. You had to work at the Texaco. So I did my turn, my stint at the Texaco. And you know, back then it was a little different. You roll up to a gas station and the attendant would come up to you and say, "What can I do for you?" And anybody remember what the first words typically were? Fill her up. Fill her up. And I would go to work. I'd get the gas going, and while it's being filled up, I would go clean the windshield. I'd go check the oil for them. "Sir, could you pop your hood? I want to check the oil." Check the oil for them. It was called full service. Let me tell you something about the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something about how much God loves you. God is a full service God. He's not playing around. I mean, when you ask, he brings it. So it's not a bad thing when you're praying to the Lord to say, "Lord, just fill her up. I'll take the full meal deal. Give me all you got. Top it off." Amen? Come on, we need this. I need this. I need him, don't you? So how about we just do a grand experiment here with 275, 300 people? How about we just take a moment, we pause, and we ask the Holy Spirit to fill us? All right, now more than likely, you're not going to see cherub angels around your head, and you're not going to see smoke, or you're not going to feel mist on your face or see orbs flying around. More than likely, you're just going to say, "Thank you. Thank you for filling me up." And you know why we need to be filled often? And by the way, Ephesians says that we're to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. It's because we're leaky vessels, and we need constant input. Amen? So what we're going to do, we're going to simply ask him to fill us, but we're also going to thank him for doing it. And we're going to just assume, and that's called faith, we're going to assume that as we asked, he did exactly what we asked. So you can say fill her up, top her off, however you say it in your own words, you can say it. But I just talk to God in regular words. I'm not fancy. So just, "Lord, fill her up." There's a great song we used to sing here called "Fill My Cup, Lord." And it's the same thing. It's that same idea. Fill it up, Lord, until it overflows. Is that selfish? Is that asking too much of God? No, he wants to do that. How much more does your Heavenly Father want to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? It's Luke chapter 11. So how about we ask? Bow your heads, would you please, with me? Father, in Jesus' name, we are before you as sons and daughters. And Father, some of us have leaked more than others. And man, we're feeling dry, and we need to be filled up, topped off, and running over. So Lord, right now, we're asking. I'm asking. So I'm going to invite all of you we'll just do it together. I'll just pray, and then you say the same thing right after me. But obviously, you're going to make it your own. So just say it this way. Say, "Lord Jesus, I need you. Would you fill me up? Top it off. Fill her up until I'm overflowing with your presence. And now by faith, I receive what I ask for. Thank you for filling me up and overflowing in my life. In Jesus' name." Somebody say amen. That was not very complicated, was it? Can you imagine doing that 8 or 10 times a day as you're going, as you're stepping into a meeting, as you're stepping into an awkward moment, as maybe you're stepping into a room full of people, maybe you got a little anxiety about it? Why don't you just pause and say, "Lord, fill me up. Just fill me up right now," and receive by faith that courage, that comfort, that help that he brings. And you can walk into that person, that room, a different person. Amen? One last thing before we go. There are people here right now. What time is it? Oh, I'm sorry. That clock is not right. This is 12:08. I should have known after 30 minutes it still said 12:08. But anyway, let's land with this. I should have known. Thank you, Lord. No, I'm just playing. Listen, there's some of you here, and maybe you don't come to church a lot. Maybe you're new to this thing, and obviously there'll be people online with us like that. But maybe you've never taken the step. You've never stepped over the line to say, I'm going to go all in with Jesus. We've got 23 people that are about to be baptized. How many? 21 people. All right. Well, maybe you're here and you need to be baptized. I'm just playing. No, we're doing 21 baptisms this morning in just a few minutes. And all that is an outward demonstration of an inward reality. They've given their heart to Christ. And they're saying, I'm being buried with Christ in baptism. Now I'm being raised to walk in new life. And that's what that is a picture of. But maybe you've never made that decision and stepped over the line. So I want to invite you. I'm going to tell you in plain terms, all of us need to repent of our sin. Amen? We need to say, Lord, we've missed it. We've missed the mark. And I want to repent of my sin. And Lord, I'm asking you as a favor, would you forgive me? Because I'm a sinner. By nature, I'm a sinner. Would you forgive me? And would you heal me? Would you save me? Would you cleanse me from the inside out? What does that mean? That's asking to be born again. And guess what? Just like praying for the Holy Spirit, if you just ask, He will do it. Because He loves you that much, and that's His heart for you. And so I'm going to ask you right now, if you're here this morning, would you bow your head? Everybody just bow your heads just for a moment. Let's do this together. Lord, there are people here right now that need to give their heart to Jesus. We had several in the first service that did this. Lord, they're ready. They're ready to step over the line. They're ready to go all in. They're ready to say, yes, Lord, and become a follower of Jesus and be born again and become a disciple, one who's a learner, a student, a pupil. So, Lord, right now, in this moment, I'm asking, Holy Spirit, do the work that you do in the hearts that are here. If there's anybody here this morning and you're saying, man, that's me, that resonates with me, I want to give my heart to Jesus today. I want to do it right now. If you're here and that's you, would you raise up your hand so I can see you? Thank you. Put your hand down. Anybody else? Anybody else? Just so I can see it. I saw a hand over here. Anybody else? Just so I can see it. All right, there are a few in here that did that. So I'm going to pray with you, and I want you to be in alignment with this prayer, be in agreement. So I'll pray. You pray the words right after, but we're going to all do it together out loud so that those that are doing it for the first time won't feel like they're sticking out like a sore thumb. Let's do it together. It's what we do. We're a community. So let's pray this. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I'm asking you to come and save me. I repent of my sin. And I give it all to you. I give you my past. I give you my present. I give you my future. I want to be born again. And I'm asking you to save me now. And I accept you by faith. I receive you by faith. Thank you for coming into my life. Thank you for saving me. I am born again, and I want to live the rest of my life for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand. And these that gave their life to Jesus today, we're going to take a few minutes. We'll have a little break so we can go get kids, but also we're going to have our prayer partners, our prayer team. If you would, prayer team, go ahead and come down here if you would be here. Anybody who needs prayer, we're going to invite you forward now. The rest of you, if you want to stay around for the baptisms, we'll just switch gears here and get ready for that and support them. But if not, we understand. God bless you, and go watch Rededicate 250 today. God bless you. We love you.